Sometimes you just want someone to tell you a story, and sometimes you want it to be a true story. That's when we turn to nonfiction audiobooks, from essay collections to memoirs to deep histories of special places. I'm Linda Holmes, and we're recommending three great nonfiction audiobooks on today's Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision, kind of like choosing to listen to your favorite song on repeat. And with their top-rated app, you can deposit checks and transfer money anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Joining us from her home in Maryland is our pal, writer Kat Chow. Kat's memoir, Seeing Ghosts, is available for pre-order now, and it is on sale August 24th. And since we're talking about audiobooks today, we would be remiss not to note that Kat's book will also be available as an audiobook she read herself. Hey, Kat.
Hi, Linda.
Now, I am an audiobook person. I've been an audiobook person for a long time. You are an audiobook person, I now know. What do you like about audiobooks? Why do you choose audiobooks?
Yes. I mean, well, first of all, I have two dogs, so I'm always walking them. And I just like having some company on these walks so that I don't get lost in my own thoughts. But what I love about audiobooks is that it feels more visceral to me sometimes than reading. And I love audiobooks across spectrums, especially, you know, like I love listening to Jasmine Guillory's books. And I just love also nonfiction, which is what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, we decided we were going to focus today on nonfiction. We're going to do three recommendations total. You're going to kick us off. Kat, what is your first nonfiction audiobook recommendation?
So my first nonfiction audiobook recommendation is Heavy by Kiese Layman. And that book is just so incredible. He narrates it himself. And I first listened to it a couple years ago when I was on a long drive. And the memoir is about Kiese's sort of coming into himself and addiction with both eating and gambling. And it's written as a direct address to his mother. And so much of it is about how his mother kind of helped shape who he was, not only as a person, but also as a writer. And the form of direct address, especially when it's narrated by the author, that also just has so much power, because not only do you feel as though, you know, you're kind of positioned as his mother listening, but it just lends itself this other sense of intimacy. And then also, of course, the way he narrates the book, the way he so lovingly, so tenderly portrays his mother and other people in his life, it just really brings everything to life in a way that is special. And it actually took me a long time to sit down and finally read the book after I finished listening to it. But when I read it, I also understood that there was so much that I might have missed in either form. And being able to toggle kind of back and forth between both forms, audiobook, and then also just reading it physically, felt kind of like a gift. Like it was just a whole other book.
Yeah, I'm happy that you started off with a memoir, because I also think memoir is a kind of audiobook that I particularly gravitate toward, because you are very often you're hearing people read in their own voice, not always, but very often. And I think a lot of times that's very, very effective. So your first pick was a very kind of intimate and personal kind of memoir. My pick is a much more sort of sprawling piece of nonfiction. It has, it's personal, but it also has history. It is Susan Orlean's The Library Book. This is a big book. It is a long audiobook. It is a long book in print. She writes these kind of deep narrative nonfiction kind of looks at different things in history or out in the world. It keys off of the 1986 fire at the Los Angeles Public Library. And, you know, some of it is a whodunit about like who did this, like who's the investigation into the fire, because they fairly quickly concluded that it was arson. So some of it is that, but some of it is also a massive history of Los Angeles and of the library, the concept of the library, the concept of the public library. the challenges to public libraries in kind of contemporary society, where, as a lot of people know, they're one of the few places that still are open and available to unhoused people, to people who need services that they are no longer getting. The public library has been kind of forced into some of those situations. So partly this is a history of the whole idea of public libraries and also this specific library system and how it came to be what it is. And I think at the same time, she also writes beautifully about, and this is kind of a weird thing to say, but she writes beautifully about the fire itself and about the destruction of the fire, about how devastating a fire in a building like that can be, and then about the restoration process, what it took to save what they could. And obviously, many, many things could not be saved. But one of the few ways that you can sometimes, for example, rescue books that have been in a fire, and often that means they've gotten soaked by water from fire hoses, is to freeze them.
Oh, wow.
So there's a whole thing about, where do you find enough freezer space for that many books from the Los Angeles Public Library? So it's a fascinating piece. I love this book. I love her way of delivering it. And it is such a feat, I think, of performance to be able to take something that is so long. Because one of the tricks with long nonfiction is you can't skim.
Right.
And a lot of people will skim sections of long nonfiction. That's one of the reasons I sometimes like big brick books of history I often don't listen to as audiobooks. This one, the fact that her performance makes it kind of something that I could stick with all the way through, I think is really a feat. So I love that one. It's Susan Orlean's The Library Book. So what is your second pick, Kat?
So my second pick is another memoir, but this one, you know, this was a book that I was a little nervous to read because it is quite, it's about sexual assault. It is Know My Name by Chanel Miller. And of course, people might be familiar with the details of her case, and they might have come to her case before they understood or knew who she was. This was the case of a person who was named Emily Doe by the court and sort of the media, and she was sexually assaulted by a Stanford student. And this book is also narrated by Chanel Miller, and when I first listened to it, I couldn't stop. It was propulsive, but it also felt so much like an act of reclamation, right? Where a lot of the book kind of details her trial. It details the memory of the assault itself. It details how she kind of came into her own. And there's a lot of text in it where you can tell that she's really speaking to herself. And she also, I think, in practice, is a spoken word artist and recites poetry. And she has this performative nature that itself is so powerful. And I think that there's something about it that felt really empowering to listen to. And just the language is so lyrical and beautiful. And it really felt like I was understanding and witnessing and listening to something unfold that felt so deeply personal in a way that feels so unique to audiobooks.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people first encountered her because she read a statement at the sentencing of the person who sexually assaulted her.
Yes.
And that statement was later published. A lot of people got an opportunity to read what she had said. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is something, we talk figuratively so much about people having an opportunity to use their voice or discover their voice. And with a memoir like this, an audiobook, you also get an opportunity to have the person kind of literally use their voice and speak in their own voice,
right,
and tell their own story. And there's a reason why that's what we mean by a person using their voice.
Yes, especially when, you know, she just didn't have a chance or opportunity really to represent herself in this case or even to the media. And it's really actually kind of moving to me to see her as a writer and person sort of inhabit her own space. She also has a really lovely Instagram presence where she's an artist too, and she kind of cartoons and draws and doodles. And she's really funny. And you hear that in the book too. And so I felt that her audiobook was really special, and I was so glad that she narrated it.
Yeah. So Kat's first pick was Heavy by Kiese Layman. My pick was The Library Book by Susan Orlean. And Kat's second pick was Know My Name by Chanel Miller. We want to know what your favorite nonfiction audiobooks are. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Kat, thank you so much for being here and talking to me about one of my favorite things.
Thank you.
And we will see you all next time.
I'm Peter Sagal, host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. That strange sound you heard on our last show was live people laughing and applauding. Be a part of our next show with real live people on August 26th at Tanglewood. Join us live and you too can finally see what our real live legs look like. Legs. Remember those?